Morning, everybody, and welcome to Greater Alton Church. I'm not a pumpkin, but it is October. It's nice October. Isn't it a beautiful month? If you're first time here, we're glad you're sharing your Sunday morning with us. We hope you are encouraged. If it's your second or third time, thanks for coming back. And for you regular members, awesome. It's good to have you. It's good to be together as a family of God. We're starting a new sermon series. I always like starting new sermon series. And this one's called Famous Falls. It's learning to rise from our failure. And so today what I want to do is I want to do some groundwork, just some preliminary groundwork for this whole series. One of the things we have in common, we all fall. Every one of us has fell. Physically, some of us are still falling. I mean, well, I get it. You know, I get out of bed sometimes and, man, I lose my balance real quick. But falling is a common thing regardless whether how much you know or what age you are or what gender you are. It doesn't matter. We all mess up. We all fall down. Look at the Bible says here up on the screen, Romans 3. This is a common passage. We know this passage. Everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's glorious standard. And it's true. The Bible is very upfront about this, and it airs its dirty laundry because it shows person after person, Bible character after Bible character, messing up. You've got Adam and Eve right off the bat. And what do we call that? We call that the fall, right? It's right out of the gate. Mankind's not out of the gate very long, and he's already tripping up. There's Adam and Eve. There's Cain, who kills his brother. Noah gets drunk. Job loses everything. Abraham's always shading the truth a little bit when it comes to his wife. Jacob is cheating people. Moses has these leadership lapses and just goes off for some reason, loses his way. David can't keep his hands off of a woman. Samson plays games with sin. You've got Peter, who's always putting his foot in his mouth. Have you got an idea what I'm talking there? These are the major ones. And besides these guys, there's Jezebel and Mordecai and Judas and Ananias, Sapphira. And some of these Bible characters recover while others just crash and burn. Let's face it, it's a fact of life. Living includes some losing. Remember that. If you're going to live, you're going to experience a loss. You're going to fall. Job, whose life seems to be falling apart, look what he says here in Job 14. He says, we are all human beings. Our life is short and full of trouble. And some of the trouble in our life is when we fall, when we mess up, when we make mistakes. He had things were falling apart financially for him. His family was falling apart. His marriage was falling apart. And yet, you know, he says these things. And so you and I know this is true. We will fall physically. But we also find ourselves having moments where it just seems we're having a mental or somewhat of an emotional, we call it breakdown, or we'll have a financial or moral collapse. And somewhere in all of it, it's related to a spiritual fall. Somehow it's a spiritual fall that is behind it. So what I want to do today was look at, so why do we fall? What are the reasons we fall? And just list them out here. And here are 10 reasons why I believe I've experienced this. I've fell. And maybe you can relate to this as well as I can. The first cause of falling is immaturity. I found this interesting. I was doing a little research on just falling in general. And a study has revealed that a child between 12 and 19 months, when they're learning to walk, they fall an average of 17 times an hour. An hour. You say, I don't remember falling that much. You don't remember a lot of things at that age. But if you think about it, you've ever watched those YouTube shorts where the construction guy's going, you know, and we do that as parents. Our kids are walking, oh, you know, they get a big old knot in their head or they get a scrape. But that's common. And it's probably the most common thing that causes us to fall. We probably fall the most when we're very young. And this is the most common cause of spiritual failure is immaturity. We don't know everything. We lack wisdom. Here's a proverb. Solomon is trying to convince his son who's going to take the throne, Rehoboam. He's saying, I want you to gain wisdom. And then he makes this observation. He goes, once I was looking out the window of my house and I saw many inexperienced young men, but noticed one foolish fellow in particular. He goes on to say that as he's watching this guy, he's working his way down a street he shouldn't be at. It's at night, and he comes in contact with some woman whose husband's out of town, and she said, come on to bed with me. We'll have a great time. And he says he noticed this, and look what he says here in verses 23 through 23. Suddenly, he says, he's going with her like an ox on the way to be slaughtered. Well, that don't sound good. Like a deer prancing into a trap where an arrow would pierce its heart. He was like a bird going to a net. He did not know that his life was in danger. And that's what we're immature. Our faith, we're immature. We're new believers, or we're new at something, and we just don't know. We don't have that street savvy, that experience of an older believer. And so we end up tripping up and falling because of immaturity. Number two is weakness. Is weakness. You ever slept on your leg wrong, or I don't know, whatever, what you, and it's asleep, and you try to get up and walk? You know, because, or maybe you have a leg that doesn't cooperate. My mother's in the crowd, and she had a stroke several years ago, and one of her legs just doesn't work. I'll never forget. We're in a car, and she goes, come on, leg, get with it, because the leg was just not cooperating. And so she's using a walker. She's trying to it's just tough. And I remember first time she comes out to the house, I kid you not, we're walking up the steps and she goes, uh-oh. I go, what? And in slow motion, we're falling to the, because she's got a weak leg. And sometimes we have weaknesses. Maybe it's caused because we've experienced a trouble or some hardship, and it's weakened our faith. It's weakened our confidence in ourselves. It's damaged us in some way. So it saps our strength. Someone says, oh, sometimes, Tim, you just need to take that, or they'll say this to you, you need to take this leap of faith, and you say, man, I can barely get a step of faith because I just feel so weak. Jesus runs into a dad. He's walking up to him and says, you know, I got a problem. I've got a demon-possessed son, and the demon keeps throwing him into the fire, and I don't know what to do. And he says, if you can do something, if you can help me. And Jesus' response is, if I can do something, I can just see him go, if you believe, God can do anything. And look at his response to this father. The child's father cries out at once, I believe. Help me in my unbelief. He said, I want to believe it, and I believe it's true, but I just, it's weak. Help me have a stronger faith. And sometimes it's this weakness. We're weak in some way, and we set ourselves up for a fall. Here's number three, and it's carelessness. Carelessness. I was just talking to Roger. He was talking about tripping over something at work, and looked around to see if anybody saw it. And I've done that before. I fell down, and then, of course, the security camera caught it. So they got to watch it over and over and over. I'll never forget when I fell on the ice outside of my shop. I get up, nobody around, good. And I look over at the body shop next to me, and the windows the doors are closed. And in the window, you see two big old teeth, big grinning guys laughing their heads off at me because I thought I got away with it, and I didn't. But isn't that what happens? I fail to watch what I'm doing. I fail to watch where I'm going. And what I thought was a ladder rung is air. And next thing you know, I'm falling off the ladder, or I'm falling out of a tree. And that's what happens when we're careless. Somebody's been careless. Okay, so when we're careless, what kind of things happen? Well, I begin to let up. I begin to get away from the spiritual disciplines like Bible study and prayer and good relationships, redemptive relationships in my life. I get away from those. I begin to flirt. I begin to be careless with sin. I begin to flirt with sin. I don't think it's really, I can handle this. I'm above this. And as I am reckless, as I flirt, it trips me up. Jeremiah, look at this passage in your notes and up on the screen here. And God is speaking to Jeremiah. And he says about the prophets of that time, They're not very serious about sin. And look what he says here. They act as if my people's wounds were only scratches. All is well, they say, when all is not well. Were they ashamed because they did these disgusting things? No. They were not ashamed at all. They don't even know how to blush. And so they will fall as others have fallen. Because if we're carefree, we don't think it's that big a deal. Everybody does it. We get careless. And there's lots of people in the Bible that got careless. Samson. I'm looking forward to talking about Samson. Here's a guy that's strong, but he's dumb. He may be strong physically, but he is weak with his faith and mentally. But here's Samson who played around with sin. You've got Lot, who doesn't think it matters where he goes and where he lives. You've got Jezebel, who also is very careless, and the foolish builder. Mike Danius will be talking about the foolish builder next week. He's going to be looking at that and how his house fell. Here's number four, and it's pride. This is a biggie. It's a very common problem. People who have failed, they get caught up in their arrogance. What did Mike Tyson say one time? He said, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. And it's true. Everybody thinks, I know what I'm doing. And then they get blindsided. Why? They're overconfident. I would say they're top heavy in the head department. And they lose their balance in some way. Look what it says here in 1 Corinthians 10:12. So let the man who feels sure of standing today be careful that he does not fall tomorrow. He's saying, just because you think you're standing, you'll be careful. You're about to fall. And in a proverb, Solomon says this, pride precedes disaster, and an arrogant attitude precedes a fall. Like I was saying, a big head can lead to a big fall. Peter was one of those guys. Jesus says, you're all going to desert me. You're all going to leave me. I'll never do it. Maybe everybody else will. And I can see some of these guys. I can see him pulling Jesus off. Look, I know some of these guys are shady, but not me. I'm loyal. You can depend on me. And what's Jesus say? Oh, buddy, before morning, you're going to fall three times before the rooster crows. And not only does pride get into Peter, but there's Moses, who is so prideful, he gets angry and decides to strike a rock instead of speak to the rock, and he cannot enter the promised land. You've got Joshua going, oh, Ai, it's a little town. It's not that big a town. We can take it. Doesn't talk to God, decides to take, and they get their clocks cleaned. You've got Rehoboam, who he's now become king. He's become what his dad vacates the throne by dying. Now I'm in charge. It goes to his head. Does he listen to wise counsel? No. And his pride leads to dividing the nation of Israel. You got Nebuchadnezzar walking around going, look at everything I've done. I'm good at this. I'm good at this. I'm good at this. And the problem is all that stuff coming out of that big head of his, he ends up losing it all. And there's others as well, like Goliath, who was a champion, undefeated. By the way, one of my granddaughters is on a soccer team, and the coaching staff consists of my sons. We're going, you know, we got a real good team. They know, and we were slaughtering people, and we were taking on a team this week that hadn't even scored a goal. And so what are they thinking? They hear this. They haven't scored a goal. We got this. They got beat. They got beat. See, pride goes before the fall. And so that's a big factor. Number five is rebellion. These are the things that cause us to fall. Any one number of these can do this. Rebellion's a big one as well. Look at Hosea 14, verse 9. If you're wise, you should understand these things. If you understand, think carefully about them. The Lord teaches you to live in ways that are right. Righteous people live in those good ways, but people who turn against the Lord fall down and lose their way. I'm reminded of an old illustration of a boxer is in the ring. He's a young man. The corner's saying to him, now when you get in there, Johnny, get in there, keep your guard up, keep your hands up, because this guy's got a ferocious left hook. He's got it, I got it, goes out, and he's doing really well, but then the hands begin to fall, and boop, he gets caught, and he's up against the ropes, and it's not looking good. Bing, bing, the bell goes off, he goes back to the corner, and the manager goes, what did I tell you? Keep your hands up. Don't you understand? I got it. Listen, man, you're going to get yourself in trouble. Okay, got it, bing, comes back out. He's throwing punches, doing good, got the hands up. But then they start to creep down a little bit. Next thing you know, boop, and he's now and hits the ground, but the bell saves him. And they drag him back in the corner, and the manager says, listen to me. Listen to me, John. It's not what you're doing that is getting you in trouble. It's what you're not doing. You're not listening. You're being rebellious. Saul would lose his throne because of rebellion. Samson loses strength. Israel, her freedom, because the Bible calls her a stubborn heifer. And the foolish builder would lose his very home because of that. You see, when I resist, when I refuse, when I disobey, I will crash and burn. Galatians 6 says it really well. You reap what you sow. And if you sow wickedness, you will reap destruction. Number six is getting knocked down. You know, because there's times someone trips us up. You know, it can be some bad news, or it can be a bad person, but we get knocked down. Satan himself will attack us. If you ever want to listen to some of this, some other additional information, that church center, that little glyph that I've got going on there about the 10 mistakes leaders make, is some great, great thoughts about making mistakes. We all make them. And so we have this stuff that happens to us. Look at this passage in Galatians 5. You are running the race beautifully. Who cut in on you and stopped you from obeying the truth? It's not only who, but what. Because over the years, I've watched great men and women of God doing so well, and then something happens, something cuts in, and they stop. They just stop leading, they stop working, they stop serving. There's been many moments in my life I've thought I've been tripped up on my own feet. We can do it to ourselves, and there's that temptation to stop obeying, to stop trusting, to stop moving. We can even bump into each other in the race. By the way, did you notice all of those people were in the same race? They were running alongside one another. And we can, whether it's on purpose or accidentally, we bump into each other and someone falls. We get knocked down. Adam and Eve's an example of Satan. I don't know about you, but that's just, it's tragic. That Satan cuts in on him. There's Joseph, who had all this stuff happening. His brothers were working against him. Egyptians were working against him, tripping him up. There's David himself, had a host of enemies. And there's Paul, the Apostle Paul. Look what the Apostle Paul says. He says, I'm a part of that group, Tim. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. I love that. I would circle, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. He says, I get knocked down, Tim. I got people against me. I got things. I got temptations that try to take over my life and destroy me. And so we have these moments where we do fail. We fall. But God doesn't abandon us. And we're not destroyed. Not really. It's not all over. We just need to get back up where we fell and keep moving forward. I love this this next thought, and that is not only do I get knocked down, number seven is effort. Sometimes I trip because I'm trying. You ever heard anybody say trying is lying? I remember we used to hear that a lot around here. Who made that up? What? Trying, a lot of times trying is not lying. It's trying, it's effort. And how many times have people tried, and me, you've tried, only to trip up while you're trying. Failure can be proof of effort, whether it's an athlete or Edison or Elon Musk or a politician who loses and wins again. It's that we sometimes failure just comes from trying. It just happens. Think about this. I don't know any exceptions to this. Every successful person I know tells me this, that they're successful because of the mistakes and the failure they experienced. And if somebody, you know, don't, let's face it, none of us get it on the first try. And if somebody does, what do we call it? We call it beginner's, yeah, beginner's luck. Because most of the time, beginners don't. Remember your first bike ride? Boy, that didn't end well. I ended up in a ditch again and again and again, but I got back on. I'm going to ride. I'm going to learn. Whatever you do, listen to this. Whatever you're doing well now is due to the mistakes that you made while you were trying. Mistakes are good. Sometimes falling is the best thing that could ever happen to you. I've had my share of moments where I have fell, and I didn't like it at the moment, but I learned to thank God for it. And there's a lot of people in the Bible, lots of folks in the Bible that tripped up while they were trying. Abraham, bless his heart. I want to believe I could have a child, but I'm 100. Come on. Now what do you want me to do? You know, you want me to sacrifice my son? I wonder if he walked fast or slow up the mountain. This is going to be tough. You got Peter and John constantly messing up. You got Martha, Peter, you know, again, John, these guys. And the secret, listen, the secret sometimes when we're falling and we're messing up due to effort is not just trying harder, but just trying again. Just doing it, I'm going to try again. Try a little longer. Look at this passage in Proverbs 24. Even if godly people fall down 7 times, you mean it's possible for godly people to fall a lot? A lot. A lot. They always get up. But those who are evil trip and fall when trouble comes. It's almost like they trip and fall and they don't get up. They're done. Winston Churchill said this, success is not final. Failure is not fatal. And then he says these words, it is the courage to continue that counts. And that's what Solomon's saying here in this passage. It's those courageous, godly folks that say, okay, I messed up, but I'm not done. They tell themselves, I'm not done. I can get up. In fact, sometimes when you're down, the only way to go is up. So why not cooperate? Why not do it? And so there's effort, and there's another cause. Here's the 8th cause. It's the opposite, and that's idleness. I can fall because I'm trying, but I also can fall from doing nothing. I fail to do something can cause a fall. Adam is the classic example, Adam and Eve. The Bible says that Eve took a bite and turned to her husband, Adam. Husbands, how many of you would let a snake be near your wife? Wouldn't you do something about it? I would think so. There's a whole book that's entitled The Silence of Adam. He does nothing, and he ends up falling right along with his spouse. You know, the Bible talks about rafters sagging, weeds growing up, broken down walls, and I noticed that when you look at the Bible characters, God is using busy people, not idle people. He can't use idle people. He uses people already busy. Maybe they're sheep, they're shepherds, or they're farmers, or they're fishing. You see, nothing changes when I do nothing. It's not going to change. I have to do something. I just can't set. Waiting it out, waiting doesn't change. It ain't going to change anything when you're called to do something. And saying, God expects you and I to do something with what he gives us. Jesus is a story of a master with 3 servants, and we know, many of us know this story. He gives them different amount of money. He says, go do something with it, make a profit out of it. 2 guys do. 1 guy does nothing, the Bible says. He buries it. And when it's time for the master to come back and give account for what they've done, I did this with it. Look what it's done. I did with this what you gave me. Look what it's done. And the other one goes, I didn't do anything. I just buried it. And Jesus says these words to his disciples, or these words are said by the master. Everyone who uses what they have will get more. That's a promise. If I use it, I'll get more. If I don't use it, I'll lose it. It says, they will have much more than they need. But people who do not use what they have will have everything taken away from them. Then the master said this, Throw that useless servant outside into the darkness where people will cry and grind their teeth in pain. Do you get the impression of failure here? Do you get the impression of a fall? I know I need to get in my Bible. I know I need to volunteer. I know I need to be participating in a small group. But I've kind of let myself go. I'm doing less and less and less till there's just very little I'm doing now in the kingdom for the Lord. Then I wonder why my spiritual temperature is dropping, or my excitement begins to dip, or my convictions begin to soften and weaken, or my relationships. I wonder why my relationships are just not, they're deteriorating. They're not as close. What's going on here? Well, see, I've been sitting when I should have been serving. And that's what idleness does. That's why it's such a sin. That's why the Bible says, warn the idle. Doing nothing is a very dangerous thing. Look at the Bible. Sorry, let me read this to you because it's not up on the screen or in your notes. I found this morning. I was looking for it and I did find it. It's in Proverbs 22:3 if you want to write that down. It says, a prudent person, a wise person, a responsible person, a sensible person sees trouble coming and ducks. He sees something, some trouble, and he does something. He ducks. A simpleton, a fool, walks in blindly and is clobbered. They don't do anything. I see the signs. I see the engine light. I see it on. I see the check engine. But I'm still going to go, and then I wonder why I got car trouble. Doing nothing can be fatal. Here's number 9. Sometimes we fall because we're just tired, fatigue. We're just tired. Isaiah 40 says, even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. Isn't it interesting that tiredness or weariness and stumbling and falling are in the same sentence there? See, marathons are a great example. You know, the idea of how runners sometimes will collapse or drop out because they're just simply exhausted. They got nothing left. This is something we need to really think about this morning. What do you mean, Tim? Well, the reality is this. You and I sin at certain times. We're more prone to sin at certain times. Those times are most likely going to be when we're tired and worn out and exhausted. I make dumb choices, you know, when I'm drained. I can tell you, I could give testimony after testimony after testimony because I'm drained from somebody just nagging me. I'm not talking about my wife now. I'm not. But nag it till I go, fine, I give up. I want to do. Okay, fine. Or something just keeps going and going. Or I'm meeting myself at the door because I'm so busy, too busy. And by the way, America, sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is take a nap, folks. Sometimes we just need to go, I need to take a break here. Why? So I can regain some strength. Why? Because when I'm weak, my resistance to temptations gets weakened as well. Samson's a prime example of this. He's a prime example of this. Delilah is asking the source of his strength, and look what it says here. He's playing with her. He says, she continued to ask him day after day, always nagging, finally he was tired of it. So tired he couldn't stand to hear any longer. So he told her everything. It's a medical fact that I am vulnerable to temptation when I'm tired. There's this thing when I'm tired called the anterior cingulate cortex. That's a part of the brain that controls my self-control. It slows down when I'm tired. And when I'm tired, that's when I make some dumb stuff. You know, it's late. David's drained for the day. It's like he can't sleep. He's a night owl, and he's out on the roof, and he looks over, and there's a woman bathing. And next thing you know, he's in bed with her. And what happens? He has a moral collapse. He commits adultery. And it's sideways. And that's what, and I can say, maybe you can think of moments, you know, I think I can think of the times late at night when everybody's in bed and the computer's on. or somebody, something is just keeps going, and I finally want to give up and go, whatever, I don't care anymore. I have made so many mistakes like that because I'm tired. I do dumb stuff. And then the last thing is a lack of balance. Probably one of the things that happens when we physically fall is we lose our balance, right? Somebody's on a tight wire, or you're walking across a room, and for some reason, I watch a lot of YouTube shorts, guys, and there's lots of those funny ones where people are just losing their balance and falling down for whatever reason. There's a passage here in Proverbs 16, and there's several like this. If you want to write one down, Proverbs 11:1 is a great one to look at as well. It's talking about honest balances, and here's one of them that I want you to look at here with me. The Lord wants honest balances and scales. And notice this. He says, all the weights are his work. You say, what is this talking about cheating people, Tim? Of course, yes it is. God wants us not to have dishonest balances. He doesn't want us to cheat people. It's an abomination of the Lord to have a false balance. Okay? It says that a fair weight, a just weight, an accurate weight is his delight. He loves that. So whenever I am cheating somebody, well, yeah, God is not delight. It doesn't please God at all. But there's a principle here I want us to notice. And that is, when I'm out of balance, I don't please God. You don't please God when you're out of balance. Whether I'm weighing the purchases I'm making or the selling I'm giving in the marketplace or the priorities, if I'm weighing out my priorities, God wants me to be fair. He wants to not cheat others, and he doesn't want us to cheat him. I have to achieve balance. Well, what's that look like? And this is the biggest, one of the biggest questions that have baffled us for centuries. All of us here could say, well, I think this is what balance is. This is what balance is. I heard somebody say it like this. When we try to do balance, it's like we have all these plates and we're trying to put equal portions on each one of them. That creates balance. I don't think that works because there's too many plates and some plates require more. Sometimes balance isn't 50-50. Sometimes balance has to be like this. But I notice what gives me the balance. It's what's in the middle. It's when what's in the center. Notice again this passage. He says, all the weights are his work. I was at Jackson Hole watching a rodeo, and it reminded me of a quote from the Cowboys where one of them is trying to get on the bucking bronco, and he whispers, keep your head in the middle and you'll be fine. Tightrope walkers, same way, keep your head in the middle and you'll keep balance. Can I want you to consider something, that balance is achieved when God is in the middle, when he's in the center of everything. In other words, I want to do that. Can I give glory to God doing that? Is this the best time? Is the timing going to give glory to God? Can I bring Christ into everything I'm doing? Because we like to compartmentalize everything, folks. And if you want real balance, the kind that God blesses, the kind that makes delight, is that he's the middle. He's always in the middle. Help, and his weights are his work. What does he want done in these things? I've had people say, do you have to go to church every Sunday? Do you have to do this? You have to do that? Now listen, folks, if Christ is in the middle, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. By the way, if Christ is in the middle, being with the body, it will matter to you. But it's not the act as much as what governs it, what's managing, what's giving me the balance. If I put myself in the middle, I'm going to be imbalanced. If I put my job in the middle, I'm going to be imbalanced. But if I put Christ in the middle of everything, wow, the difference it makes. I tend to not lose my balance. I watch so many people trying to balance work and church when it should be Christ and Christ. And that would solve so much. I would think differently when I'm at work. I would think differently when I'm doing something extracurricular. Where's Christ? What's Jesus Christ want me to do? Because everywhere Jesus went, he's the most balanced person there was. Why? Because he's the one that creates balance in our life. Look at this, what Jesus says here in the easy to read version. What should you want most? In other words, what should be at the center? What you should want most at the center is God's kingdom and doing what he wants you to do. Then he will give you all the other things you need. He takes care of everything else when he's at the center. So I ask you as we close this lesson and start this series, what's tripping you up? What's causing you to fall at times? What can you go back to? Or you can say, I've tripped now, Tim, and it's pride. Or it's, I'm idle. I'm tripped up because I'm just immature. Or I've lost my balance because Christ is not the center any longer. I love this passage. As you think about that, look at this. Well, here's a promise from God in Psalms 37. I love this. By the Lord, the steps of a person are made secure. Then he will delight in his way. Though he falls, he'll not stay down, because the Lord holds him by his hand. I love this passage because it encourages me so much. It says that God can secure my steps, but I'm going to fall. And the security is he helps me get back up, and he'll help you get back up. If you've fallen morally, if you've fallen short in some emotional or mental way, or you feel like I just fall short of what God wants, can I tell you that trusting the Lord will help you get back up? He doesn't want you to stay down. Final passage, then we'll be done. Isaiah 40. This is up on the screen. I've heard this quoted in the New Testament. Jesus quotes this, but I noticed this passage in Isaiah 40. James says that. All people are like grass. That's what it says. And all their faithfulness is like flowers in the field. He says, all people, first of all, are like grass, and their faithfulness is like flowers. The grass withers and the flowers fall. What's he saying about us? We wither and fall. We mess up. It says, because the breath of the Lord blows on, the judgment of God breathes on us, and it reveals just how frail we really are. Thank God for the cross. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. Yes, the grass withers and the flowers fall, and you and I will fall, but the word of the Lord, the promises of God, are always and always will be there for you and I when we fall. You can trust those and get back up and rise after your failure. There's a card in your bulletin, and the card is an opportunity for maybe for you to comment on this lesson, or there's a decision you'd like to make. I want to strongly encourage you to consider using this card to make a decision today. This is a very, very, I believe, important series we're going to be having. We're looking at not only the cause of falls, but how do we get back up? And I know some of us here, we'd be interested in this. I know we would be. Well, ask God to reveal to us in this series how we can rise up after we fall. And maybe there's a special need. Maybe there's something you go, I really want to know more about this church, or I want a personal Bible study. There's some boxes you can check there. We'd love for you to do that. We're going to let you do that while we sing a song. And then after that song, Alan will close us out with a closing song. Let's pray. Lord God, awesome, awesome God, we call upon you to help us get up when we fall. Some of us fall because we just don't know enough yet, Father, and we pray you enlighten us and equip us. Some of us, our faith is weak. Things have happened. We've been hurt. We've been damaged. We've been discouraged, and it's hard to put our faith in you again. But we pray, Father, help us for our lack of faith. And while some of us may be struggling with weakness, I know a few of us are careless. We don't think sin's all that big a deal sometimes. We don't take it very seriously, and it just bites us. It's because of pride. Father, we pray for humility. We pray for obedient heart. And Father, whatever's knocked us down, whatever it be, Father, Satan's attacks or something or someone, intentional or accidental, Father, that we ask that you not abandon us. That help us see that we're not destroyed. That we can recover. Some of us here, Father, have we failed because we try. Let it not discourage us. Let us grow idle. Some of us, Father, are tired. And Satan knows we're most vulnerable then. Father, we pray you'll renew our strength like the wings of eagles. And Father, for some of us here, sometimes things kind of fall apart because we lack balance. Somehow you've gotten out of the center. Someone else is at the center. Ourselves are at the center. What we want the most is at the center. And we wonder why things are so bumpy sometimes. We just ask that we bring you to the center, your wisdom to the center of everything we do, and that you can help us know what we should be doing and what we shouldn't be doing. Help us with our priorities. Thank you for your promise to be with us and to help us. It's forever. And we cling to that, Father. We trust that. Help those, Father, that are sick, that are struggling right now, that are afraid. Not just be with them, Father. Minister to them through your Holy Spirit and through this body. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Father, light, draw me closer. Bringing glory unto you. your healing.